So if you would, please take your Bibles once more. Turn back to the Gospel reading, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We're going to be focusing on the Beatitudes found in the first 11 or 12 verses of the text this morning. So we've been in this Epiphany season. It began on January 6th, and as we've been going through this season, we've been challenged, I believe, in our discipleship to reflect on the early part of Jesus' story, as it's been focused in and shared from Matthew's Gospel. We began by looking at the significance of Jesus' birth, what it means that God comes to us in flesh, born as a babe, a helpless child into this world, and identifies with our humanity in his incarnation. And then we moved from there to the importance of the Magi's visit to the Holy Family, that story that is only recorded in Matthew's Gospel. And we looked at what we could learn from these wise men about how they sought the one whose star they had seen, and how they listened well to the Holy Spirit in their journey both to worship Christ and then to go home by another way, as Matthew records. We moved then, as the story of Matthew's Gospel took us, to the story of the baptism of Jesus. And we heard the message of John the Baptist that prepared the way for the Lord and how he called people to repent. And so we looked at what it meant to truly repent. And then at the last part of that narrative, that part of the story, how Jesus identifies with us in his sinfulness. God identifies with us in our humanity most profoundly in the coming of Jesus, in his incarnation. But Jesus then identifies with us in our sinfulness, in our brokenness, when he accepted the baptism of John. And then last Sunday, again following the narrative in Matthew's Gospel, we saw how Jesus models for us how to overcome temptation that comes upon all of our lives, and how to do battle with evil in the world. And that the resources that Christ drew upon in the wilderness, recorded there in the fourth chapter of Matthew, are the same resources, that we have. The Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, those things that help us also resist temptation so that the devil would flee from us. Now, by the time we come to the fifth chapter of Matthew, we know a little bit about what Jesus has been doing. It begins after his temptations in the wilderness. He begins then, as recorded in Matthew 4, his public ministry. We learn that he's been going throughout the region of Galilee, where he is basing his ministry primarily out of, both preaching and healing. But all we know about the preaching before Matthew 5 is that he has a simple and very direct message. It's a message that reflects John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has come near. But when we get to Matthew chapter 5, that changes. In Matthew 5, as we hear at the beginning of that chapter in verse 1, Jesus begins to teach his disciples, his closest followers. He calls them up as Matthew lays out the setting on a hillside or a mountainside. And then what he does is he teaches them, and it takes up three chapters, chapters 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel. And, of course, that has been named and titled the Sermon on the Mount. Now, there's ample evidence to show that this was not one continuous sermon of Jesus that he gave in one setting to his disciples. Rather, I believe what's happened is Matthew has collected and placed here early in the story of his gospel a summary of all that Jesus continually taught to his closest followers during the 3 years of his time with them. Or as William Barclay describes it, the Sermon on the Mount is nothing less than the concentrated memory of many hours of heart-to-heart communion between the disciples and their master, spread over the 3 years of Jesus' public ministry. Now he begins that teaching, as Matthew has constructed it, with some familiar verses. And I think it's easy to miss what Jesus is speaking here in these verses, what we've come to call the Beatitudes. It's easy to miss that these verses really form, in many ways, the heart of the gospel, the heart of Jesus' message. If we connect it up, and again, as Matthew has laid it out with Matthew chapter 4, we hear that Jesus has been going about preaching the good news of the kingdom, and that word was accompanied by miracles of healing. You read that in verse 24 of the fourth chapter of Matthew. That people, as they were hearing this good news about the kingdom has come near, it's validated in their experience because they brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and those paralyzed. And Matthew records, and he healed them, and Jesus healed them. So it is on the heels of that reality that Matthew puts this in the context, the Beatitudes he puts in this context. And they begin with this wonderful Greek word, makarios, which is translated in the NIV, blessed. In some translations, the translation is happy are those. But I like blessed better. Blessed speaks of a way in which we experience the gospel and the grace of Christ in our lives that is not contingent upon external circumstances. And it's a word that echoes a very common Hebrew expression that is a joyous exclamation that we find throughout the Old Testament. It's one of the reasons we read Psalm 1 this morning, because it begins with the Hebrew word that in the Greek is translated makarios. And it really, the more accurate way to translate this is, oh, the blessedness of the one who does not, Psalm 1:1, walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take. And so I think it's important for us to realize this morning that these Beatitudes, they're not just statements. They're really exclamations of what Jesus is declaring with joy and fervency. Oh, the blessedness of the poor in spirit, the blessedness of those who mourn. They're exclamations of a reality that is those who are in these conditions and circumstances and that they where they find themselves, where their life is with Christ. And the next thing we notice about these Beatitudes is that the blessedness that Jesus pronounces is not delayed until some far out there future distant time. It's a blessedness that exists here and now in this present world. Now, it's a blessedness, Jesus says in other places in this text, that will continue into eternity, but it is, and we never should lose sight of this fact, it is a blessedness that is meant to be present and experienced now in our lives. But I think the most significant thing that we need to take note of as we look at these verses, notice who Jesus says is blessed. The poor in spirit, the ones who mourn, the meek, those persecuted for righteousness' sake, those falsely accused or insulted because of their witness or testimony to Christ. Jesus exclaims the blessedness of those that our society often ignores or overlooks or devalues. Blessed are those who work for peace instead of profit. Blessed are those who are suffering and in pain. Oh, the blessedness of those who practice mercy instead of seeking revenge. Remember, Jesus said earlier in chapter 4 that the kingdom of heaven has come, it's come near. I think what he's doing what Matthew is wanting us to connect here is that the kingdom of heaven is heavenly populated by just those people who, in their brokenness and pain, in their failure and loss, in their desire for a world that is better than the one we live in today, have turned to God and cling to Christ. That the kingdom of heaven is heavily populated by just those people that are overlooked by the world, whose lives are deemed expendable and inconsequential, who value peace and who value righteousness over worldly success and comfort, over material abundance and ease. And Jesus says, oh, the blessedness of you. The blessedness of you. I believe what Jesus is doing in the Beatitudes is he's lavishly throwing around blessings, especially on those who are never blessed by the world. Doesn't that seem like a Jesus thing? Right? Those who can never seem to catch a break. Those who are easily pushed off to the side. Jesus is lavishly throwing out blessing, declaring you are blessed. Nadia Webster is the pastor of the church, and I love the title of the church that she pastors. The name of the church is The House for All Sinners and Saints Lutheran Church. Doesn't that describe the church? All sinners and saints. It's located in Denver, Colorado. A few years ago, she preached a sermon on this text on Matthew 5, 1-12, where she expanded these verses as a way of engaging her congregation's imagination about who Jesus is blessing here in the Beatitudes. And I would just like to share much of what she said as a way for us to open up our imagination of those blessed, those who are blessed in these Beatitudes. It spoke to my heart, and I just want to share it with you this morning. Pastor Webster proclaimed in her sermon, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are those who doubt, those who aren't sure, who can still be surprised. Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they no longer take in new information. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are they for whom nothing seems to be working. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears are as real as an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are the motherless, the alone, the ones from whom so much has been taken. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are they who laughed again when for so long they thought they never would. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who no one else notices. The kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables. The laundry guys at the hospital and the night shift street sweepers. Blessed are the losers and the babies and the parts of ourselves that are so small. Blessed are the parts of ourselves that don't want to make eye contact with the world that only loves the winners. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard, for they are those with whom Jesus chose to surround himself. Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are the foster kids and the trophy kids and the special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved and never does. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they who know there has to be more than this because they are right. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of people. Blessed are the burnt-out social workers and the overworked teachers and the pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed are they who delete hateful, homophobic comments off their friend's Facebook page. Blessed are the ones who have received such real grace that they are no longer in the position of ever deciding who the deserving poor are. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. I think that's at the heart of the Beatitudes. Bottom line, Jesus blesses those who know more than anything else they need God in their lives. That without God, there is no hope, there is no meaning, there is no joy. And for all of those, you are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Let's pray together.